Welcome back to the Masked Singer Wrap Up Podcast. We are back once again to talk about The Masked Dancer, episode 4 through 1, 1 through 4, and we're going to give it the heavy business, the proper investigative treatment. I'm just kidding. We're really not going to do that, but we're here to touch down on it, and I'm very excited to do so. I am, of course, your host, Puya the Tights, Zan Vakili, back at it again with some more masked coverage. And of course, I am never here on my own, never want to be here on my own. I've got my partner in crime, partner in rhyme, partner in masked business here with me. It's Liana, the camera, Boris. Liana, how are you doing today?
Click, click, click. I am happy to be here. The Masked Dancer has been such a bizarre but fun experience for me. I don't know if it's because I don't feel any pressure to like guess anybody correct. I just get to sit back and enjoy the wild experience. And, you know, you and I have talked about this before, but I want to say it again. It feels like an SNL skit of The Masked Singer, but this is a real show on Fox.
Yes, 1000% to me, it doesn't feel like I'm watching actual show that's supposed to be getting ratings and getting renewed potentially. You know what I mean?
Okay, I kid you not. When Craig Robinson comes back from a commercial break on this most recent episode with the intro of "Welcome back to The Masked Dancer," because why not? Is that not a line from SNL? That's legitimately not real.
I mean, here's the thing. I think that they recognize what the show is. I don't think any of them are out here being like, this is a cinematic masterpiece. This is literally bringing families together. I think they're fully well aware of, they're in on the joke, basically. But it's fun because I know they're in on the joke and they're having fun with it. Like, no one is taking themselves too seriously. Panel, host, dancers, nobody. And that's kind of been the phenomenal, like, change of scenery that I've wanted. Because I will say with The Masked Singer, I feel like we take it a little bit more seriously, but then I feel like the show goes out of its way to make itself seem more serious than it is. So it is fun to see that difference of scenery, even though I still cannot believe this is a show that got a full season green light.
The Masked Singer, I think, is sillier. It's just, I mean, okay, relatively, sure, The Masked Singer is more serious, but I completely agree that the Masked Dancer is extra silly, right? Yes. The Masked Singer is silly. The Masked Dancer is just like, whatever. Craig Robbins is just like, yeah, why not? We got Brian McKnight as a cricket doing some dancing. Like, what?
Yeah, it's been fascinating. I mean, so here's the thing, right? So we talked about the show after the premiere. We're here, 3 weeks later, talking about everything through episode 4. And then we're about to get the Super 6 next time, going into the finale when we talk next. I will say I'm happy with the format choice we did. Because I find myself feeling like I don't have a lot to speak on with an individual independent episode. Whereas usually with The Masked Singer, there's a lot of content because obviously there's the singing element, there's the razzle dazzle, there's the background, there's the clue package. But I feel like even the clue package here, they're literally spoon feeding it to us. They're like, hey, you see that red circle? That means you got to focus, okay? Yeah,
hey,
okay, good.
Idiot, there's a red circle. Did you see the red circle? There's a clue there, you dummy. Like, it definitely feels like we're being spoon-fed for sure.
Look at the red circle. Focus on the red circle.
That is the production team of The Masked Dancer. I don't know. Maybe they're like, look, our audience is going to be hella stoned while they watch this. Just, like, go easy with them. Go slow. They're going to need it.
Yeah, here's the thing. I feel like everyone... our listeners who were big in on The Masked Singer and were watching, not just following along with the podcast, which you're totally allowed to do if you'd like, of course, always. I feel like they're still watching The Masked Dancer. And because it's such low stakes, like, remember when Rob first came on with us and talked about Masked Singer being laundry folding TV? This is literally like I could be playing a game, like, doing the most, doing three other things, and then still getting to watch this and not miss a beat. So it's very low stakes TV, and it's very fun. as a result. For me personally, it's because it's dumb. I feel like a lot of the other TV I watch, it's like a little bit serious. I got to pay attention. I can just kick my feet up and have a good time with this. And I'm okay with that.
This definitely feels like literally the lowest stakes TV. I think the only time when I really feel like I need to not even focus, like look at the screen and semi pay attention is during the actual dancing performances. Because otherwise you can kind of glance over here and there. I don't know if that's the type of television that they're looking to create, but to me that is what the product is. I still dance every single time they play Word Up. It is my favorite part of the show. It needs to stay. It's fabulous. Word and up. Yeah. Come on, Ken. Get up, Ken.
Here's the thing. You're not the only person. I put up a question thread in the RHAP patron group, and at least two other people were like, this is the best part of the show.
It slaps. I don't know why. I don't know if it's just the clip that they picked in particular. There's just something captivating about it that I think is super, super fun. I will say we've watched this together, separate, with commercials, without commercials. I think my favorite is watching it with you without commercials. The commercials really make it drag on, but it's a show that is fun to enjoy in an experience with another person. And so I'm really thankful that we can watch this idiotic show together.
Yeah, honestly, I'm very appreciative of that as well. And it's been nice to have a show where we can just, you can turn it on where, no matter where, what situation we're in. Because I feel like, again, like to go back to other shows you and I watch together, more often than not, unless we're like rocking a sitcom, we have to pay some kind of an attention. So it's nice not to have to be in that position.
This is a good eating dinner show.
Oh, yes.
We can still kind of talk while we're watching. It's just, yeah, it's really, really enjoyable. And I think that some of the changes that they've made, I mean, minor changes to the format compared to the Masked Singer versus the Masked Dancer, I really like. So the questions before the final guesses, I really like that. I wish that that's something that the Masked Singer would incorporate. And so I think there are some things that they're doing better than the Masked Singer, but it's definitely a little bit of a different vibe.
Yeah, I agree. I think I have enjoyed watching it on Thursdays on Hulu, because again, no commercials, no problems. That's a good time. But let's talk about what we've seen so far. So let's go. I think we just kind of go through the judge. Sorry, might be a little rusty on the Masked Singer front, ladies and gentlemen. Give me a second to collect myself. I am collected. Call me the collection plate, Zan Bikili. I don't know. Listen, here's the thing.
So, is that a collect call joke or?
It's like the collection plate at church.
Okay.
Joke.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, because it was call me collected. Well, it's fine. It's fine. Look, it's so deep. It works in so many different ways. You are a comedy genius.
Someone whip out the WD-40 because your boy's rusty. Okay.
Squeak, squeak.
Like, why the sound effect?
I don't know. It felt necessary. That reminds me, when is my the thing coming for the door that I ordered so I can fix the squeaky door?
This is definitely on podcast business you're trying to take care of, but yeah. That's in February.
It's coming in February?
Yeah, I don't think you noticed. You sent me a listing from amazon.co.uk.
Okay, well, that's not my fault.
I mean, it's coming from across the pond.
All right, it's exotic then. Much like the exotic bird.
Good old exotic graphite powder. No, this is not the segue, Boris, because we have to talk about the host first. I want to talk about our boy, Craig Robinson, here. And give me your overarching thoughts on the man.
I think it goes to your point earlier about this. They don't take themselves too seriously and they know it, because that welcome back to the Masked Dancer, because why not, from Craig, I think perfectly encapsulates Craig's attitude towards the show. Very much like, yeah, I can't believe this is a thing also, but it's a paycheck. Like, I'm here. He's going to participate. I know your favorite part of Craig as host is the little dance moves that he does before and after commercial.
But yeah. So if for those those of you who aren't going to be watching, let me paint you a picture here. And for those of you watching, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. So obviously when you know, we're going to commercial, we'll be right back. You don't go anywhere. All that stuff is fine. But with the Masked Dancer, they've got their own like spin on it. So when they come back, the women in black, who are, I would say, a huge upgrade from the men in black from Masked Singer, might I add. They're out here. They're doing the splits. They're doing the most. They're doing like 8-9 sequence moves, getting like, you know, with the music right before they get back to the show. And then right as the beat's about to end, Craig will like throw in a whip, or like he'll like put an arm in, or he'll like fold his arms to like kind of like pose. He does one move, and it's funny because he's in the shot. He's in the frame. He's center screen the whole time, and he's not doing anything until that last second. And that is kind of how I did a lot of my university stuff. It was kind of like nothing, all-nighter, the done. So I feel him on that. I kind of relate.
Or it's a group project. The backup dancers are really doing their best, and he at the end just comes in. It's like punch dance move.
Yeah, he walks into the lab or to the class, shirt untucked. Like there's still a little bit of the morning on him, and he's like not feeling it. The hair is not done. The bag is half open. The shoes are the wrong shoes because it's the winter in Canada, and he's rocking sneakers like a dummy. But he gets the grade. He still gets the same grade as them. So good for him.
Good for him. Good for him. Yeah. That's all I have to say about Craig, honestly. That's it.
Yeah. No, I mean, honestly, I think that he, given how little he has on his plate with this show, he's really found a way to sink his teeth into it. And I do appreciate that from him. I had no doubt that he was going to be fun and he was going to be good, but I do enjoy him. I love that he doesn't even pronounce the show the way it is. It's not the Masked Dancer to him. It's the Masked Danza. He like gives it this little bit of positive edge, like, no, we're cool. It's like, okay, Craig, you're cool. So
he's trying. He's doing his best.
Yeah. Bless him. Bless. So that's it for Craig. Let's talk about the panelists. Obviously, I want to start with the one that's a repeat. Let's talk about Ken right out the gate.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Ken. I mean, Ken is Ken. He's doing his shtick, his thing. Although I feel like him interacting, especially with Paula, for some reason just fits a little bit better. Like, because Paula's just doing a look, Paula's being Paula. Sometimes it's genius, sometimes she's super off the mark. But for some reason, that type of vibe really fits with Ken's silliness, because it's like silliness in two different directions. Like, Paula is being Paula in a way that is not put on, whereas Ken is sometimes feels super forced, but it, like, I don't know, it just goes together.
No, Ken is perfect for the Masked Dancer. I am not even remotely bothered by his interactions, by his ways, by his guesses. It feels like it's at home on this show. It really does. And this takes me back to what I said earlier, where like, maybe it's because of the way I am approaching the podcast, where I'm trying to like investigate, I'm trying to figure stuff out. And like, I'll come on, be like, that was annoying. I'm sick of it. He's doing the same thing over and over. But for some reason, it felt like it fit here. And I think the difference is that here, his co-judges are also kind of goofy. I 100% agree, and we can just slide into talking about Paula right here. I think that Paula's the perfect sidekick for him, or he's the perfect sidekick for her. Like,
yeah, who would have thought?
After I told Lauren, I was like, you know, I was roasting Paula. Like, why is Paula back on a judging show? She doesn't need to be here. No, now I've changed my tune. Paula's a great return onto the screen. She's like a... she's like a good refresh into the panel. I genuinely think she's my favorite of the four. Oh, genuinely.
No, for sure. Especially after this most recent episode, which was the playoffs of Group B, I guess.
Group A.
Yeah. Which, by the way, they 100% aired these out of order and didn't even bother to cut out the line, because Craig goes, last week we met Group B. I'm like, Did we meet Group B last week?
Oopsies.
Anyway, clearly episode's out of order. Fine. Who cares? No one cares. That's the best part about the Masked Dancer. They're just like, F it. Like, it's fine. We'll just air that anyway. Paula, oh my God. I think she knocked her guesses out of the park. And I think we'll talk in a little bit more detail later on about those guesses. But wow, I she's bringing it. And I thought her wacky questions during the question time was... what is she even asking? Who's going to ask if, you know, whatever, hair color, something like that? There's a method to her madness. I believe in her. Oh,
defo there's a method to this madness. And honestly, I'm here for it. I'm here for all of it. I think she belongs here. I would even go as far to say I would like to see her on The Masked Singer. I feel like she would be a good fit there as well. Because I think that she
it
has...
It should be Ken, Paula, and I guess she... Because she should replace Jenny. And so then, and then we'll keep, we can keep Robin, I guess.
Because Paula seemingly does have the knowledge of like different avenues by the sounds of it, but she's also the right level of goofy for my taste where I'm like,
yeah, I agree.
Yeah, you're a little bit silly. You're going to fit the show perfectly. That's why I think that I can't stress this enough. I definitely have enjoyed her and I've changed my tune on her for sure. Now,
Paula reminds me a little bit of my mom in that, like, I remember one time, like, my mom and I went into a Quiznos once, and we were going to order sandwiches, and I remember I ordered my sandwich, but she just, like, completely zoned out, and it was just, like, staring at stuff, and I was like, Mom, what kind of sandwich do you want? And then I had to, like, help her. It was the weirdest experience of my whole life. My mom just, like, well, not the weirdest, but my mom just, like, completely zoned out, but then she always like knows her stuff. She just like knows things. And I'm like, Mom, how do you know this when you're zoned out all the time? I don't know. It was weird. Anyway, point is that my mom is Paula Abdul. And that's another reason why I think I like Paula.
Well, let's talk about the other two on the panel who I don't like as much. Let's talk about the one that I definitely feel like people are like, whoa, Pooja, how dare you? Ashley Teasdale. She's okay. She genuinely is fine on the show, specifically on the show. I think it's a bit of a miss from what I'm getting from her. I'm not getting enough like fun, but I'm also not getting good enough guesses. It's just kind of like, it's like, oh, you're trying to fit into the I'm the TikTok person. And to you, I say, Ashley, you're not even pronouncing the name of the girl who has the most followers on the platform correctly. And you're saying it like three times an episode. So no, you're not. She's okay. She's inoffensive otherwise, and she's just kind of there for me.
I feel like Ashley was cast, and don't get me wrong, huge High School Musical fan over here, really excited when she was announced as part of the panel. I feel like she was cast as the young person, though.
Oh, for sure.
Okay, look, I'm almost 30. She's 35. Not saying that she's old. Okay. But when you have some people competing on the show who are like, might be super young, like 16, 17 years old, I feel like she doesn't necessarily fulfill that typecasting.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair. I do think that, she's what? Is she the youngest of the seven hosts across the two shows? I would assume so, right?
I think so. Yeah, she must be.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, honestly, yeah, it's like you have to end up in that role given the squad you're there, because like they keep calling her like the TikTok person. Oh, you know your TikToks, and I'm like, guys,
is she big on TikTok?
Huh?
Is she big on TikTok?
I mean, she's never come across my timeline ever. So I would lean no.
Ashley Tisdale TikTok. All right, let's find out. Okay, so yes, she is on TikTok. She has 6.1 million followers.
Mm-hmm.
It's playing out loud. I mean, she seems to... Yeah, she gets a lot of hits on TikTok. Maybe she is really on TikTok.
Maybe I'm speaking
out
of place.
Wow, look at us. We're the old people.
I mean, I'm still younger, so I'm okay with that.
I should follow her on TikTok.
Yeah, maybe in your own time. Maybe on your own time you do that.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I, this is me again, just giving my two cents. I think on the panel, she's third place for me, behind Paula, followed by Ken. And in last place, put one over his head. It's Bag. It's Brian Austin Green. I do not care for Brian Austin Green. He just gives me nothing. And then this last episode, him and Rob Lowe just like bouncing on each other's picks left and right, and they're just off. It was like, meh. Like at least Robin Thicke is funny on accident when he does his whole like, oh, I'm dancing. Oh, I said something really weird. Oh, I'm clapping at my own guests. Those are funny to me. Whereas I feel like it's not there for me with him.
Well, Bag did get Elizabeth Smart, right?
Yeah, good for him. A good guest does not make a good panelist. In my opinion,
I think I'm still just sort of stuck on the why are you there factor. And I don't know if this is nepotism from Robin or what the situation is. Maybe him and Ken just really hit it off because isn't Ken a producer on the show or whatever? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, again, I don't he hasn't done anything necessarily offensive to me. But I also just whenever I see him on screen, I'm like, why are you here?
Yeah, he did something offensive to me. Out, burn it till it's burned out, turn it till it's turned out, jump up, run northwest, east, south. Yeah, that's him as the giraffe.
I keep forgetting he was on The Masked Singer.
Yeah, I mean, that's
even worse of a decision.
I mean, I feel like that was their you know, they're in because they're like, okay, Ashley is High School Musical. That's easy. Everyone knows her. She's a household name in the Disney world. Easy decision. Okay. Paula Abdul, she was part of the infamous trio of the American Idol panel. Everyone knows Randy Jackson and Simon and Paula. So that's an easy, everyone knows who she is. And she's done so much else for herself outside of that. Oh, he was with Megan Fox. She's cool. Okay,
but like, did everybody else say no? Like, did they go down the path? They were like, "Look, Tony Hawk. Hey, do you wanna be a panelist?" And he was like, "Nah, I'm busy. Thanks." Like, I just don't understand how they landed on him specifically. Like, fine, I get it if you want to pick somebody from The Masked Singer, but really, Bag of all people.
I'm gonna put you on the spot. Pick one. You can replace him with anybody. Who are you replacing him with?
Oh, Wayne Brady. Done deal.
Oh,
easy.
My God. Dude, Joel McHale. Just put Joel McHale as a permanent on here.
Wayne Brady. Bow Wow. Like,
No, you know what? You know what? Forget Bow Wow. First of all, inferior podcast. The official, my butt. They're not great. Also, have you heard about what Bow Wow did this past week?
No. Did he get canceled?
I mean, only went ahead and performed at a club in Houston to a packed house.
Ooh.
In the midst of the pandemic.
Oh, my God. You know who else got canceled? Taylor Dane. She performed at Mar-a-Lago without a mask.
Well, you're saying canceled, but you mean like is getting heat, right? Because I feel canceled nowadays is super different.
Well, yeah, but like especially in the gay community, it was like, no. Like, can you not do that, please? But anyway, okay. What Bow Wow did, I guess.
Taylor Dane defended her performance, right? Yeah, at least Bow Wow, like, backed off. But it was only after people went in on him. And he was like, I was there for my friend's birthday. That was why. And I'm like, why were you there at all? Okay.
That doesn't get rid of the pandemic. I wish that was the case. Like, yeah. Oh, it's my birthday, so there's no pandemic. I'm sorry.
And I mean, here's the thing. I don't want to make a joke on this, and I don't. I'm very serious about this stuff. You know it. I know it. Everyone knows it. We've talked about, like, the fact that they're like CGIing audience in and they're pretending that nothing's happening, all that stuff. But to break quarantine for Bow Wow is like, love yourself more. Come on. Please. Before rapping, like, come on. If he brought the frog costume, I'd get it. Mm-hmm. But like, I beg. Uh-huh. Okay. Uh-huh. So that's the thing I wanted to say. But yeah. So in short, no Bow Wow. Okay. No Bow Wow. No. Yeah. Yeah. And while we're here, let me take this opportunity to say 23 minutes in, if you are a fan of our podcast, please leave a rating and review on iTunes. It helps us get discovered. It helps us prove that we are the best podcast for Masked Singer out there. May not be the official, but the official one's run by somebody who is named Bow Wow. So please go over to robhiswebsite.com/maskedsinger and leave your thoughts about us, and we would appreciate that very much. You are all leopards. Someone wrote a review and was like, Puya keeps calling us leopards. I don't know what that means. It was a 5-star. I'll pull it up and I'll read it at the end of the podcast here.
Reference to season 2. You're all up. Yeah. I pick Wayne Brady. Actually, I don't even understand why Wayne Brady wasn't chosen.
Or Jamie Foxx has hosted a show on Fox and has guest starred. You can literally guest host it. You can give him the spot as well. It's very possible.
Yep.
So I don't know why that's not happening.
Anyway, well, we needed our white guy, okay? So.
Bag. I mean, Joel McHale's right there. Okay, you know what? It doesn't matter. Don't matter.
Yeah.
Don't matter. Okay, you know what? I'm gonna read that rating and that review right now, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so the review's from Andrew_the. It's 5 stars. Love it is the caption. Wow, what a podcast. Puya keeps calling me a leopard, bracket slightly concerning. And a friend once overheard me listening to this podcast where Puya introduced himself as a chicken sandwich. Everything about Liana is also incredibly relatable. 5 stars.
Oh my God, I totally feel that. I relate to myself too sometimes. Oh, you
really? I was like, I totally hear that. People listen to me, they're like, what? Chicken sandwich. Okay.
Like, yeah, no, my partner ate 100 nuggets. It's fine.
That's the past, Puya. Present Puya is a different animal. Nugget?
A leopard, in fact. All right. What else? What else?
We talked about bag. We talked about everybody. Real quick. Can we talk about the fact that there's an audience / do we believe that that's old footage from season 3?
It's 100% from The Masked Singer. I believe that. Perfect. I think they just have like a different angle that they're shooting the audience from, that they're like, oh yeah, we never use this. Let's use this on The Masked Dancer. Right. People believe it's a different audience. I mean, come on. There's no way. Like, what are they doing? Going to quarantine all these people? They're like, all right, guys, we're going to bring you in for our Masked Dancer audience. We're going to have to quarantine all together for 14 days. That should be a reality television show. Oh man, I would watch that.
Sorry, can you repeat the premise?
It's the audience of The Masked Dancer quarantines together in one big house, and we just get to follow all their hijinks. How fun. I mean,
then it's The Masked Sequester, and they're just all like,
no, it's Big Brother, but they don't vote anybody out. They just all live together. How fun. Yeah.
It's like the real world meets Big Brother. World,
but they can't go out, so it's not the real world, but it is.
Hotel California.
The quarantine world. They've done some animation. It seems very sporadic when they choose to use it. So I'm not quite sure I understand that, but I do like the animation when they do it.
Okay. I like the color scheme of The Masked Dancer. I do. I do. So that's good. We like that. And then what I wanted to say is that I want to talk about these dancers. Are we ready to talk about Group B here or no?
Group B.
Yeah. So we're going to go backwards because we didn't talk about them last episode, obviously. And then now we're back to Group A. So let's talk about them and then we'll dive into episode 4 proper. So fun fact, folks, real quick. Second person unmasked also happens to be one of Liana's inspirations growing up. That's why she went into science. Bill Nye was the second person unmasked as the Ice Cube. Liana, what were your thoughts when you saw one of your inspirations unmasked there?
Okay, let me just this is a little tangential, but because you're super annoying, let me just talk about my relationship with Bill Nye. So did I grow up watching Bill Nye the Science Guy? Yes, I did. I had Bill Nye the Science Guy VHSs. I watched them. Yes. However, I got older and then I heard stories about him being a jerk. Then I met him for the first time. It was at my university. He was giving the graduation speech. He's a jerk. Like, you can just tell when, because, I was watching, it's a long story short, but like, I was near him for a substantial period of time as sort of like a, not security guard, but I was like helping people get around. But I was near him when he was meeting a lot of people. Total jerk. Like, you can just tell based on the way that someone acts and interacts with others, you're like, oh, you're super self-interested and you're really annoying. Did not like him. So I'm sorry. That's just my opinion. And I appreciate everything that he's doing in terms of being a science communicator and him advocating for climate change. Climate change is real, and him being the Ice Cube and making that a huge part of his platform. Not going to disagree with that and not going to take anything away with that. But Bill Nye, the Science Guy, is a real jerk. All right. Just going to say it. And that's my opinion. But that being said, holy crap. It was like Bill Nye, the Science Guy, is on The Masked Dancer. Guys, who would have thought? Not me.
Don't meet your heroes, am I right?
That's what they say. That is what they say. And it is true. Never meet your heroes.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that it was very cool. I will say on an overarching level real quick, I feel like The Masked Dancer has better celebrities than The Masked Singer does so far.
Right? Between, I mean, I was actually, when Brian, not to jump too far ahead, but when Brian McKnight got unmasked, I was like, wow. Oh, wow. Like, I think I've so rarely had that, oh, wow, except for maybe like Sarah Palin or, you know, who are the people that have like really shocked me? Maybe it's because I had low expectations of the Masked Dancer. I was like,
I think so.
Anybody. And I then it was like, I see Bill Nye, Elizabeth Smart, Brian McKnight. Like, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, I think season four especially made it seem like literally we're not going to find it. Because I think going into that season, I made the call of like, you know what? It's quarantine. Everyone's in isolation. Everyone's been home. I bet their big celebrities are going to come out and like play. Mm-hmm. But then that didn't really happen. Exhibit A, the giraffe. But then here, I feel like so far, hit for hit, like we've knocked them out of the park four in a row. So, and I thought it was interesting. I mean, again, not to jump far ahead, but when Brian McKnight says he chose the Masked Dancer over the Masked Singer because people would just assume guess who he was immediately, it's fascinating to me because he's somebody that literally every season the judges guess, and every season someone's like, you know what, he'd be great for this show. So for him not to even be there is fascinating. But no, four people in, I know everybody. I will say I did not know who Elizabeth Smart is. I did read up on her after her unmasking, and I'm very happy that the Masked Dancer, you know, introduced me to someone like her. I'd never heard of her before, and I'm very happy that I know who she is now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been really happy with the cast so far. Mm-hmm. Also in the diversity of people that they've had in terms of bringing in people from so many different walks of life. I mean, you know, the Masked Singer does do that to a certain extent. But I think it was just the low expectations thing of, oh, Dr. Elvis is on the Masked Singer, so the Masked Dancer is, you know, going to be...
You're never going to let that one go, are you?
I will never let that go. I'm sorry. It bothers me every single time I think about it. Someone who becomes famous because of the Masked Singer after show should not be allowed to come and compete on the Masked...
But,
unless they go have their career, like, and be... And again, like, no pressure on Dr. Elvis. He's a medical doctor. That is his chosen career. He's not a singer. That's like... I mean, he is a singer, but he's not like a professional singer. Fine. Like, I get it. But still, gosh darn it. Wow.
Like, obviously, the argument here would be, well, Liana, he went viral on YouTube with like 50,000 hits prior to Masked Singer.
Wow.
So, but yeah, I mean, listen, it is no matter what, like it is a huge difference when Brian McKnight ends up being on your show. Big difference. Here's what I think with regards to this show. I think that the show is supposed to be, again, we've talked about a buffer in between Masked Singer, Masked Dancer, then Masked Singer again. I feel like it was the first season. It's low stakes. Why would they say no? They're completely masked. They get to do a dance. Worst case, they're not that great in dancing. They leave. It's not like singing. I feel like, I don't know why, but I feel like singing is more vulnerable. I do. Mm. I feel like if I was told that I had to dance every time a song was on or sing every time a song was on, I would pick dance. And I think that because mostly people just dance to like dance at a club, whereas like then you've got you got the ballroom dancers, you've got the break, like, you got like all, then if you're a dancer, you're a dancer. Whereas I feel like with singing, you know, you're either a trained singer, but you can still have a good voice as a singer on a regular as a person, but then you can also have no vocal cords. So it's just, it's starkly different to me, but I will tell you my favorite part of the show so far. You said yours was Word Up. Mine is Bill Nye, the Science Guy, doing his dance at the end unmasked and just like getting in it. It was so funny. Mm-hmm. It's so great. I cannot stop praising that kind of silliness.
Also, the fact that it is silly and it is just so goofy and doesn't take itself seriously, then it feels like less pressure probably on the people that are competing as well, right? Yeah. So it's like, yeah, whatever, sure, I'm gonna go be on the Masked Dancer, like, who cares?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that I just think there's something to be said about like, wow, Bill Nye can't sing worth the crap. Hits like is more personal than, wow, Bill Nye can't dance. Like, no one's sending that tweet of like, he can't dance. That's not really a tweet that's going to be there. Mm-hmm. So I do think that is the problem. So we'll see. Where this show goes. Do you think, I've not checked the ratings, but do you think the show has a chance of getting renewed?
It's 0.7 rating share at the moment, which, and that was for the last two episodes. The premiere had more at 1.4, which is, I think, what The Masked Singer sits at.
So the premiere was also on a Sunday evening. It was a different time slot, too.
Yeah, it was a different, and wasn't it following something else? Yeah, so the rating share for The Masked Singer hits around like 1.6, 1.7. Mm-hmm. But, so it's like half that. Is that enough? I don't know. I don't know anything about TV. I just know numbers, and that number is smaller than The Masked Singer number.
Yeah, well, let's see. So it's, I believe the show is going to be 8 episodes, right? So right. 8 episodes, 0.7. It's in, listen, I don't know how, but if MTV can successfully have a show that no one's watching and ridiculousness just be on their channel all the time, I see no reason why Fox can't have this during the Masked Singer off season.
Yeah, but that is unexplainable. It's really if Fox thinks it's worth it, right?
Phenomenon.
Yeah, the ridiculousness thing is just, it's ridiculous.
Have you seen the food one now?
What yeah, the called? It's like food fails, essentially, right? It's like, yes, only food, but for like ridiculousness, but only for food.
Yeah, yeah. This is shout out to the Challenge podcast that I consume in the form of the Rehab Up with Ali and.
Well, they have the ads.
They get the ads in between, and I watch the Challenge so I can keep up with the podcast. But those ads have nearly made me want to be like, listen, is it worth watching it Wednesday night, or can I just get away with Thursday? So that is a thing that is happening. Okay, so here's the thing. We've talked about him being the Ice Cube. We've talked about Elizabeth Smart a little bit and being the Moth. Who are the others that we're not going to dive into today that we should talk about? You've got Zebra, you've got Sloth, and you've got Cotton Candy.
In terms of the people that are, so those are the three from Group B.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. What about them? I think Zebra's gone next. Cotton Candy and Sloth are amazing. Are,
yeah. I love them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Zebra's the one gone next as well. That's the, I will say my biggest. Super
Six, right. So they're all going to be merged together, we think.
Yeah. Next week is a Super Six. All three, both groups are going to be merged. Liana, I mean, I'm quickly going to dive into this, but I think my biggest problem with The Masked Dancer is that I can tell who's going to win.
Okay, wait, let's talk about Group B and then let's talk about the top six, because I also went back, because even though I said, hey, can you write this down for our draft? You did not. So I went back and I re-listened to our podcast. Thankfully, it was recorded. So I have our draft as well. And so we can talk about that in the context.
I have. Okay. You have the info now. That's good. I mean, I already had it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Because you wrote it down.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. When we drafted.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Liar. Okay. You're such a liar. Because I asked you for the information. You were like, oh, I didn't write it down.
We got an assignment here. We got an assignment here.
I'm going to out you on the podcast. It's fine. Group B. Okay, wait. Group B. No, Group A. Most recent episode. What are we talking about?
We're talking about Group B. We're talking about Zebra, Cotton Candy, and the third one. Sloth. No. Sloth. The homie Sloth.
Yeah. Zebra. Yeah. Of the three, I think Zebra is the weakest. I think Cotton Candy and Sloth could possibly be. I think either of them could win.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely in the final, like final four win equity levels. I agree with you on that. I don't think they're going to be my winners, though. I don't think that's the one I'm picking as the winner here.
OK, so then let's transition back to Group A in this most recent episode. Assume then your winner comes from Group A.
Yes.
OK, and it is.
I just don't see where Tulip doesn't take this. I don't see it. Oh,
interesting.
Like, the Tulip moves in a way that no one else on the show is moving like. And that's coming from someone who's just a big, big lover of all things Razzle Dazzle. And I don't think the Tulip's giving me that kind of Razzle Dazzle. So for me to say that, like, I'm saying it because that's what I'm feeling.
Well, the Tulip is a fabulous dancer. I think that she also has a lot of the diversity when it comes to the performance, right? We've seen two very different performances now from her. Mm-hmm. I think the Cotton Candy, though, is a really good dancer as well. And of course, mm-hmm. because, you know, we're going to pit female against female, especially those that are similar to one another, the judges keep saying, oh, tulip versus cotton candy, tulip versus cotton candy, in the same way that I feel like we heard sun versus seahorse, sun versus yep. seahorse. And I'm assuming that narrative at some point is going to pay off, whether or not that's in the final six or in the final three or at some point along the way. I feel like they're two of the best dancers on the show.
Yes. Can I just say right out of the gate, I really hope there's no like nonsense of, oh, we're doing face-offs next week. It better just be a free-for-all.
Same. 100% same. Especially after the Masked Singer did that this last time. Where it was like, oh, they're still competing. Like, no. If you're going to call it the Super Six, then they're all against each other.
Exactly. Come on. So I think that, tell me who you like best from Group B. Is it Cotton Candy or is it the Sloth?
I think Cotton Candy. I think my top three are Tulip, Cotton Candy, Sloth. Or top three. Yeah. Is that what I said? Yeah, top three.
Yeah.
I think the winner is coming from that group.
I would agree with you. I have a soft spot for Exotic Bird, and I want that to be on the record.
Yeah, no, I know you do. And I think that clearly she's talented. I just think that mm-hmm. she's not a professional dancer in the same way that Tulip, Cotton Candy, and Sloth are.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, I just find it very interesting with how this is going to go, because honestly, I'm like, I just don't see a world where we don't already have the winner, like kind of like picked. So,
well, that's why the Masked Singer has something similar to that, though, where I feel like as we go along, we're like, OK, look, this is our top. Maybe there's more there, our top five, mm-hmm. not necessarily our top three.
Well, like, I think, I mean, obviously you just talked about it, but like we would have said, in no world are the seahorse and the sun not facing off at the end. And the seahorse did not make it to the end. But I will argue that you're right in that season four was a very strong top six, though, where like if anyone had gone to the final three, I would have been like, oh, I would have expected this person, but I could see any of them winning. Mm-hmm. Here with dancing, I just feel like that's the problem, where like it's a little bit different, because you look at the frog, you look at Bow Wow, there was no singing capabilities there. It was all from an entertainment point of view and a rapping point of view. So I think that you can still make it to the end without really having the vocals. You're really not going to make it to the end here unless you have either heavy athleticism or mm-hmm. good choreo.
The skill level between a professional dancer and someone who likes to dance versus a professional singer and someone who likes to sing, I feel like that skill gap is so much wider, and that's why those people stand out so much more versus the people who, like the Exotic Bird, probably has danced in some capacity in her life, but I don't think that she's a trained dancer. Whereas yes, there's a difference between the trained singers and the, you know, people like Chloe Kim, but the gap is not as big. So,
yeah, well, like I think that not like, obviously they tell you, you know, vocal training is important, but I don't think every singer is out there with vocal training, right? Like obviously people audition onto like these talent shows.
Jason Derulo is professionally trained, and I listen to him sing opera. Wow. 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 Wow.
Is there any world where you're not out here just like thirsting for Derulo on every podcast we do?
I can't help it. I'm sorry.
I'm Liana. I listened to Savage Love 300 times last year.
I love Jason Derulo.
I love Jason Derulo too, but like, damn.
I would pick him for the Masked Singer, Masked Dancer panel. He's great. If Jason Derulo ever gets canceled for some reason, that's going to be a rough one for me.
Yeah. If you were ordering a drink right now, I would ask you to get one on the rocks because you need to put this in ice right now.
Just like the ice cube.
Ugh, your beloved.
What's your draft pick, by the way?
Yeah, listen, whatever. The draft don't matter. The show, if the show doesn't matter, the draft doesn't matter.
Oh, the draft matters, honey. Let's talk about the draft. You picked Exotic Bird, Solid Ice Cube, Hammerhead, and Moth. Okay. And that was the order. That was also the order of your picks from first to last. You want to hear my picks?
First pick,
Tulip. Second pick, Cotton Candy. Third pick, Zebra, fine. Fourth pick, Sloth.
Who was the undrafted?
The Cricket.
Brian, that's kind of perfect then.
I know. I'm super happy. I'm pretty sure I have the winner on my team.
Yeah, you have, listen, don't say pretty sure, okay? Don't like, oh, I went out of my way to pull the, to go listen to the episode and pull the draft out just to shove it in your face, but I think I might have the winner. I don't because know. Don't, I was, don't I was, you do that.
I was pretty sure I had Tulip and Cotton Candy, but the fact that I picked Sloth last, I was like, oh, Liana, you're a genius. I love you.
Oh, yeah. Did you pick Sloth last, or did I like end up leaving you the Sloth? Like, what happened?
Yeah, but I had the wherewithal to go with the Sloth over the Cricket because I wanted to go with the unknown, whereas I knew the Cricket was going to be leaving soon.
Yeah, well, so, let's not act like there was a lot of decision
football. No, I'm pretty much a genius.
Dude, you didn't remember we were going to draft until before the podcast.
Exactly, which makes me even more of a genius.
This is why I'm glad you lose most drafts to me, because you are such a sore winner.
I am very insufferable. Yes, that is a true statement.
Yeah, I mean, I think, listen, you have the winner in your draft. It's not even close, I will say. Now, as far as this episode goes, the four we saw in depth this last round, I think Paula's a genius.
Paula's a genius.
I think Paula's nailed at least two. She nailed two guesses, in my opinion, for sure. And then I think she got very close with another one.
Yeah, so we tried to talk about this with one another off the podcast without talking about it. And let's just dive right in. So I have a guess, because I think you and I are on the same page. So obviously she got Brian McKnight, done deal. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure Jordan Sparks is the exotic bird. And I think she's on the money.
Mm-hmm.
Because not only did her logic and her reasoning make sense, but also like all the clues seem to fit. Jordan Sparks also performed the national anthem at one of the Super Bowls, which again fits with the whole clue package from this last episode. She's a performer, but not necessarily a trained dancer. Solid. I really think it's Jordan Sparks.
No, I think so too. That makes sense to me. 100%. And so we had... So, like, let's look at the other guesses, because it's been very funny for me keeping track of these, where half the judging panel is going one direction, the other half is going the other direction. Well, like, there was like a DJ thing, and her son's initials spell out DJ. I'm like, that seems pretty good. Again, this is once you're like zoning in, that seems nice. But no, I do think that Jordan Sparks is a good pick. And looking at the others, I mean, obviously Ken going with Janet Jackson is very Ken of him. Mm-hmm. But Austin Green be like, there was a DJ panel and like Megan Thee Stallion's in hip hop. I was like, that DJing is not hip hop. Like, well, what are you doing? You're like, you're supposed to be like a former rapper. Get out of here, bag. Get out. Stop. Enough.
Really a former performer. It's he had one thing with.
Yeah. Robin and then Rob Lowe with the reaches of reach to go to Kate Hudson. I like the journey he took us on with the her mom was in this movie and then this. I was like, I like that, but no, come on.
No.
I think this was sound. The other one, because I'm going to jump over the Cricket because we know who it is. The other one is the Hammerhead. Now, I will tell you this. I did not end up figuring out who the Hammerhead is until I heard the voice and I heard Paula's guess, and then it made me go somewhere else. And like, I think it makes sense. Based on the big clue for me was the wanted to be a lawyer. This person has taken the LSATs and isn't Mike the Situation Sorrentino, but was on the same show as Mike the Situation Sorrentino. I believe this one is our boy Vinny. I think this could be Vinny.
100% props to Paula here. I never would have gotten this without her, because she has a Jordan.
It's so funny to look at where everyone else went, Liana, and she went the complete opposite direction to me. Like the Seacrest and the Joe Rogans. No, she went to Jersey Shore. I couldn't believe it.
I was also super shocked, because when she said that, I was like, oh, that actually makes a lot of sense. I don't think it's a situation, but let me do a quick Google. Vinny took the LSATs. Also, Vinny and Pauly D got married on their show or whatever, which is the wedding cake that we saw on this last episode. Mm-hmm. So there were just so many things that were hitting. And I was like, is this like a Slumdog Millionaire type situation? But Paula is knocking it out of the park.
So in my notes, I have the number one, the color red, and Thrust, because there was a thing where someone was like next to the Hammerhead. I now realize that that is a jersey. So,
like, Jersey Shore. And there was another something about shore, something. There was a word play on one of the clues at one point in that clue package. So, yeah, I think it's for sure Vinny.
Yeah, I mean, I loved it because the what's it called? I spent a lot of that performance with the Hammerhead just being like, yo, why are they making it seem like this is Eminem? Like, they're really making it seem like Eminem because there was I had one shot, one opportunity, didn't want to lose myself. And then there was the reading chart, you know, like at the doctor's office where like you hold one eye and you read the eye chart and the E was backwards, just like Eminem. And I was like, dude, I know this is an Eminem, but why are you telling me this is Eminem? So I started thinking maybe it's someone from D12. I was like, maybe that's where they're going with this, but. Then obviously the lawyer thing comes in and I was like, okay, I'm no longer on that. But then we got here and I feel like what 80-85% good about this, potentially, but I was like, why are you making it seem like Eminem? What's the Vinny Eminem link to me?
I think they pick one other celebrity that they're like, let's try to convince them that it's this person. Because for the exotic bird, it's 100% Shakira. Because we get like the hips don't lie.
That's so stupid. Because like Shakira, like, got dancing. Oh.
Yeah, no, I mean, believe me, like, I know it's a dumb decision. Unless maybe there's some connection with her and Shakira that I would have to Google. But, you know, that's my feeling, because then of course Ashley is like, oh, I'm getting Shakira vibes. Like, that's not Shakira. Yeah. Okay, like, let's be real.
And I think the tulip for me, I don't know who it is, but all the clues, everything we talked about, especially that first episode we talked about, this is someone who was on some kind of entertainment thing as a dancer. I don't think it's like a trained, maybe. I don't know. Could be like a Dance Moms person. Could be someone who's blowing up on TikTok right now. I don't know who it is, but they got moves. They got moves for days. So,
yeah, someone had tweeted at me with their guess, and like, it's now all like, I don't know if I would have gotten there on my own. Ooh, I did.
Okay, don't tell us.
Oh, okay. Tell us. Well, I'm familiar with the person.
Oh, that's good. Okay.
So at least I was like, oh yeah, okay, I know exactly who this.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we'll say it now. It's, I mean, again, at the end of the podcast almost. So if you're not hearing this, it's unfortunate, but. If you could avoid tweeting us your like guesses, especially post research, that would help us not like know stuff. But sometimes it happens. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It is what it is.
Okay. So let's see. Is there anybody else I want to sink my teeth into here and talk about real quick? Did we miss anybody? I don't think we missed anybody. I guess Zebra is the one we missed out on. You really don't have anything else to say about the Zebra?
To me, Zebra and Hammerhead are in the same. So we talk about the top six. It's the Hammerhead and Zebra, I think, that are gone next. Then probably Exotic Bird, leaving the top three, Tulip, Sloth, and Cotton Candy. That's my predicted boot order, general boot order. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that I remember the Zebra being eight, right? Not the best though.
No, the zebra's
worse than Hammerhead, right?
The Hammerhead does not dance. The Hammerhead runs around stage moving his arms and legs in sometimes a coordinated fashion. The Zebra, right.
The Hammerheads, the reason I picked the Hammerhead was that razzle dazzle.
For sure. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. The Zebra does have moves, but are benefited by the costume, which is one of the reasons why I chose the Zebra. Fringe just exaggerates all your movements. It makes you look like a better dancer than you are. So I think it could be Hammerhead that's gone next, then Zebra, but. You know, either way, I think the top three to me is just so abundantly clear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right. I think we're good with that. And we leave it to listen. Here's the thing. Congratulations on your draft win. We are not bringing it up on the finale because you've won. I think it's, you know, there's no need to bring it up. I'm declaring you the winner here, and we're tabling it and we're moving on.
I'm gonna bring it up.
Well, I'm editing this podcast. I'm gonna edit it out.
Nah, I'm gonna.
How about that?
Nah, I'm gonna talk about it. I'm so excited. Oh my gosh, if the exotic bird wins, I'm gonna cry.
If the exotic bird wins, I'm going to be so Liana on the finale podcast. And by that, I mean insufferable. You have no idea. I'm not gonna. It's just a fun thing to fantasize about.
Okay.
All right. And as far as any questions we have, I did put a thing out. I did put it out late today. So let's see. Okay. So someone asked about they have low expectations, but does it seem more like the folks that have been revealed so far are more famous than those on the last season of Masked Singer? We've talked about this. So that's good.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, I completely agree.
1000%. Someone said that they know it's probably not him, but they keep thinking of Jesse from Big Brother for the Hammerhead because of the tank top and the wrestling poses and stuff. So
yeah,
I can see why you're thinking that for sure.
I like that guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Guesses. What's that meme where it's like, give me this, but it's wrong or whatever. You know what I'm talking about?
Like the ordered from Wish thing.
No. Wrong guesses only.
Oh yes, wrong take. Yeah, yeah, wrong reasons or something like that.
Yeah. That's I love it. That's that answer.
Yeah. That's fair. That's fair. Okay. And I think other than that, like just the reviews came in from our listeners and they're watching the show and they're enjoying it. Some people don't understand why they're enjoying it or like it's so bad that I'm still having fun with it. But listen, we're all in the same boat. This has been pretty entertaining to watch. I think the decision we made to do this, you know, thrice is sound because I think that overall there's not a lot to talk about and we're pretty much on the same page with it. But I'm very excited for this finale one when we get to it. And Liana, before we head out, let the people know what you're up to and what you're doing.
Big Sam, I co-sign all the energy about the Masked Dancer. It's fun, it's silly, it's stupid. We're here for it. If you are interested in following me on Twitter, you can follow me at Liana RHAP. And if you're not watching Drag Race, wow. You should. We are covering both the U.S. season of Drag Race, so season 13, and then with Beth and Amon, we're talking about UK Drag Race as well, which is in season 2, which has been really, really enjoyable. It's fun to sort of compare the two seasons, especially because you see them so clearly juxtaposed next to one another. And we have a video podcast too, so you get to see our lovely faces. So definitely check that out on the Drag Racer Hop-Up.
Lovely stuff. And yeah, you can find the video over on the RHAP YouTube page.
Yeah.
And you can find me on all major platforms, Twitter, Instagram, twitch.tv. It's Puyaism for all three. I have been, you know, covering this latest season of the 90 Day Fiancé. I was about to say podcast, but I'm covering season 8 of 90 Day Fiancé with the one and only Rob Cesternino. And it's been a phenomenal ride. We've been having so much fun with it. The season has been so silly and so great. And our latest guest was Lauren Beck of TikTok fame, of Survivor fame. And she was a hoot and a half to hang out with and to talk about 90 Day with. So you can check that out over on the 90 Day Rehab Up feed or the reality TV Rehab Up. Again, WD-40, man. I'm pretty rusty right now.
Yeah, it's like, don't you talk
about
the Masked Singer podcast? I guess, or a 90 Day podcast. I guess you don't host it. So, you know, you're like, oh,
I mean, it's half I don't host it and half like I don't know what's going on with me right now, but I feel like I'm having a moment where like I feel like my tongue is slipping all over the place almost. I don't
know. Just like an ice cube.
Always with Bill Nye with you.
always Bill Nye with you.
But yeah, I forget where I was with that.
Oh, I'm going to be on Renap.
This is so scuffed.
This is the worst podcast we've ever done.
This is like landing a plane with a hella turbulence. Like,
I feel like most of the pieces are there. It's fine.
Like, as long as the wheels touch the floor, we're fine. So the rest of the body don't matter.
It resembles a podcast.
Yeah, I think that
you started before I hit the recording of the stream yard. Like you started talking before I hit it.
No, I saw the red button before.
Are
I
you sure? Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, fingers crossed. It was real tight on my screen.
All right. Well.
All right. Let's get out of here. I'm done.
I was in the middle of my plugs. You're cutting me off.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. Sorry.
You cut me off to make fun of me. But yeah, you can find the podcast with Rob and Lauren over on the 90 Day Fiancé Rehab Ups feed or the Reality TV Rehab Ups feed as well. And if you want to leave a rating or review for that one, you can go over to robiswebsite.com/90dayfiancé. That's the number 9, number 0. Would be much appreciated. And if you would choose to overlook the stumbling and slipping around we did in the last 10 minutes, and you would like to still leave a rating and review for this podcast, please go over to robhasawebsite.com/maskedsinger. That's MASKED singer.
and let us know what you think about what you hear here. And hear, hear.
Hear, hear.
Hear, hear. I hope you've enjoyed yourselves.
Hear, hear.
Liana, you are talking over me.
Hear, hear.
I hope you've enjoyed what we've done here today. I hope you enjoy what we do for the finale. And I hope you enjoy what we do when the next season of The Masked Singer comes along. You have all been leopards today, or you have all been exotic bird today. New one? Maybe. I don't know. We appreciate it all the same. We hope you have a lovely time, and we will unmask you next time at the finale when Liana wins the draft, sadly.
Hear, hear.
I can hear you in the background waiting to say hear, hear. Every point you thought I was going to pause, I kept going, and you're like,
hear, hear.
Hear,
hear. Hear, hear. Hear, hear. Hear, hear. Hear, hear. All right.
And on that note, hear, hear, but get out of here, here, because it's over. Good night, everybody, or good evening, and good afternoon, hear, or good morning. I don't know what time it is. Bye.
We just ended. End the podcast. It's done.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.